D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. A nice impromptu visit there from Jeff Fisher.
Yes. I need to ask him a favor with the for the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So he's gracious enough to do a video for me about, you know, my career and you know, my time here in Nashville. So I'm excited about that in mid-July.
Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we started the show by talking about the report from Adam Schefter that the Minnesota Vikings are unlikely to franchise tag Sam Darnold before this afternoon's deadline. Schefter also added that the Vikings are hopeful that they could still re-sign Darnold. But with this news that he is unlikely to be tagged by the Vikings, where do you think things stand now with Sam Darnold in the open market?
You know, the fact that they remain hopeful to sign him makes me think that maybe the, you know, the trade market, you know, in terms of a tag and trade, or just the market in general for Darnold, you know, maybe isn't as strong as some people think, probably myself included. That's what it makes me think. Now, I would tell you, I would just say this, and this is kind of as this news is coming out. If I'm Sam Darnold and the money is even close, I'm not going back to Minnesota. Like, Minnesota is telling him, you threw 35 touchdowns last year, you were awesome, but J.J. McCarthy is going to be our quarterback. And so, like, if I'm Sam Darnold, I'm saying, like, it's clearly not here that is going to be my, you know, NFL home. Let me go find it somewhere else. Like, maybe it's Pittsburgh. Maybe it's Nashville. Maybe it's Indianapolis. Maybe it's Las Vegas. Like, there are other places that I think you could look at it and say, all right, would they commit to Sam Darnold at least 3 years financially to be their starting quarterback? I think there's a good shot those teams I just mentioned would. Again, if the money's even close, I'm looking elsewhere.
Let me ask you the question I just asked Derek before we brought you on. So there have been reports that the Giants could be interested in Darnold, the Steelers could be interested in Darnold, the Raiders, even the Titans. When you're looking around the league at teams that need a quarterback, if the Vikings are out of it, which team, in your opinion, provides Sam Darnold with the best environment to replicate the success he had last season?
I would probably say Pittsburgh, because they've got a good – I just think it's a good team. It doesn't mean they're going to, you know, go to the, divisional round, or doesn't mean they're going to go to the AFC championship game. But if you just look at, you know, the team that I would consider is in the market for a quarterback, which they are, look, you have a really good receiver in George Pickens. They're probably going to address receiver, you know, as it stands now. They probably need to address running back also, but defensively they're really good. So, and obviously there's stability and coaching in the organization in general. So, that to me seems like it would be a good fit in terms of, you know, he could play at a starter level and prove that he belongs. I think, you know, if he were to go somewhere, like to the Titans, I think it's just fair to say, like, all right, like, well, what does the team look like? Where are they with the offensive line? How good is the defense? Is the receiving core what you would want? You know, a team that I would say, you know, if you don't find exactly what you're looking for would make me really curious would be the Colts. So, if we could say, hey, you know, money was even, I may favor the Colts. Now, the Colts, you know, may still feel like there's some level of interest and maybe, you know, building around Richardson for the future. But I think that time has passed, whether they admit it or not. And so, you know, that could end up being a decent spot.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, out of the NFL Combine, it seems like Cam Ward's stock has risen, although he did not perform or participate, I should say, at the Combine. We had Teron Davenport on yesterday, who was at the combine, and he said that based on his intel, if the Titans stay at number one, he's pretty confident that Cam Ward would be their selection. So considering Sam Darnold, considering the potential of Cam Ward, who would you say is going to be better 3 years from now, Sam Darnold or Cam Ward?
Well, here's how I would say this, and I've thought about this. This is why my position on the Vikings, you know, that they should build around Sam Darnold rather than J.J. McCarthy is this. The bust rate at quarterback is brutal. It's brutal. Like, and so you just think of, like, you know, first round draft picks at the quarterback position. Like, it just, I mean, it's not even a 50-50 proposition. And so when you have somebody that's thrown 35 touchdown passes in a season, like what that guy did is he just put a stake in the ground. He's like, look, I can do this, you know, which is different than, you know, we see with, you know, a lot of other guys. And so, look, the safer bet in my mind for sure is a 27-year-old Sam Darnold. Like, it would be different if Sam was 30 years old or 31 years old. Like, he's younger than Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Like, he's a year younger than Josh Allen. Like, those are guys in the prime of their career. I do think we have to take into some context of the age that Sam Darnold was when he got drafted. I don't think he was even old enough to buy a beer when he was drafted by the Jets. So I think he got his first start at 21 years old. So, look, I would take Darnold. I've seen guys not pan out too many times. Look, is there a chance that Cam Ward ends up being Andrew Luck? Maybe. But there's also a chance that, you know, there's a chance he's Jameis Winston.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and the head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, before I get back into the quarterbacks, I want to ask you about T. Higgins, and not necessarily about, you know, the money he will make and free. No, from the standpoint of this, when the new collective bargaining comes up, which I think is in another 6-7 years, it's down the line, but I'm sure they can sort of work on some things if they want some things within the CBA now. My thing is, should you be able to tag a guy in consecutive years? Because my thing is, you tagged him the first time, okay, work out a deal. If you can't work out a deal, then teams are using this and sort of holding these guys sort of in peril. You know, it's almost financially they're holding them, you know, in this box where they won't allow them to go out and test the market. And if you deem the market is too high or not high enough, you want them on your team, then you pay. Do you feel that the NFL and the NFLPA need to get together and work through this?
Yeah, I do think that the whole point of the tagging was in order to, like, give you some time to work out a new deal. Like, the intention of, you know, the franchise tag and then how it's been used, you know, don't align. And then, you know, the tagging the year over year, like the only thing that you could say, you know, to kind of go against that idea, D-Mace, would be that if you look at guys that have been tagged twice or even guys that have been tagged once, they often become the highest paid, you know, player at that position, you know, over a 2 and 3 year stretch. So, like, Kirk Cousins would be a great example of a guy that, like, he got tagged, and he didn't have the security that other guys had. But when you look at his numbers over a 3 year stretch, he's making more money than anyone else. Same thing with Dak Prescott. So, you know, like, let's use T. Higgins for an example. Let's say T plays on the tag at whatever the number is called, $25 million. Mm-hmm. Well, he then is a free agent next year. And if they're going to tag him again, that number would be way higher. And then they're just not going to be able to do that, right? So, now he's a free agent. He's just made $25 million. He should, as a number one receiver, end up, you know, in the first 3 years of a deal, you know, maybe coming close to the top of the receiver market. And so his number over a 3-4 year stretch is going to be as good as anybody's, Justin Jefferson's, Jamar Chase's, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that there's almost not even an incentive for the NFLPA to say, hey, stop tagging guys, because the guys that play through it mm-hmm. and then become free agents, their like 3-year average ends up being higher than pretty much everyone else at their position.
Yeah, I understand that point.
But the security part of it, like you're putting it on that guy to play well. But I, like, so this would be the example is that like Dak Prescott had a brutal ankle injury and it still happened. So, you know, the security aspect of it that guys are often concerned about, it doesn't seem to be that. Like we haven't seen the, you know, the catastrophic injury where a guy played on a tag, had the catastrophic injury, and then it didn't work out. Same thing with Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, I think, was tagged, had a knee injury or knee injury before, like whatever the situation was, same deal, made a ton of money through the process.
Well, I think what's going to happen is the NFL is more reactive than proactive at anything. And what's going to happen, I believe, is one of these guys is going to have a catastrophic knee injury and not be that same player. And then all of a sudden, it's going to come to a head and they're going to have to discuss it. But I understand what you're saying from the team and sort of from, you know, from the player standpoint as far as guarantee and everything else. Now, quickly, before we get you out of here, Shedeur Sanders, the stuff that is coming out, what do you make of the anonymous quarterback coach who didn't like or didn't appreciate Shedeur Sanders' arrogance, as he says, and he don't understand the culture of these players, or he doesn't like the culture of these players. What do you make of that?
Yeah, here's what I'd say, and I think we've laughed about this in the past. Look, I told you before, like there's a guy I was friends with, and we have a conversation about, you know, Daniel Jones, and, you know, I really wasn't even asking him for work purposes. We just kind of were talking, and he's kind of like, nope, don't like Daniel Jones. Then they end up drafting him. I'm kind of like, wait a minute, bro. Like, what? Like, I was like, it hurt my feelings, you know? And like, and so, so like to me this time of year, like, look, that guy could be saying it because he actually likes Shedeur Sanders more than everybody else, you know? So I think before I'm like, oh, hey, a guy shouldn't say that. Like, I don't agree with him blasting him, that type of thing. Like, I think we just know that this time of year, you know, there's going to be mixed reviews on people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're accurate. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's to, you know, send off a sniff in a different direction. And it's like, I think it's just like, it's what you've signed up for, you know? And I think that, you know, the info we're getting back, like just from the combine where everybody kind of, you know, goes and meets and there's a lot of information sharing and guys are experts and they're trying to sort through it. Like the reality is Cam Ward's a much physically, you know, a much more physically talented thrower of the football than Shedeur Sanders. I think that's going to start to separate it. I think Shedeur Sanders physically, you know, has limitations. I think he's got a limited arm strength. He's got a limited mobility. I think he's not athletically, you know, as impressive as some other guys. And I know he didn't do things at the combine, but I think when people get together and they talk about evaluation, there is some trust with information and things of that nature. I just think that that's what's ultimately separating guys, not, you know, one guy's anonymous, you know, character, you know, assassination of a guy's, you know, confidence or arrogance or whatever it may be.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us on D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick. Tim, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
All right, sounds good. See you, fellas.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. If you have any thoughts on what Tim had to say, call us, text us. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. There was something in there that he said, Derek, that I found to be very interesting that I think would make a lot of people around here who like Sam Darnold very upset, and we'll get to that next. Before we do, this week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. See why Brewster's is a scoop above the rest with the best ice cream shakes, Sunday splits, blasts, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last.